89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Condon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, we're pretty lucky. Today we're going to we'll be talking about liberation theology and a new book with Ted Schmidt, who is never neutral. That's the title of his book, and I've never known him to be neutral. He'll be coming along a little later, but sort of inadvertently on the same theme, we're going to be talking, we hope, right at the top with Bishop John Osmer in Lusaka, Zambia. And he wants to talk about the situation of Rwandan refugees in Zambia. There's a little bit of a mysterious crisis around them, and we're going to ask him to tell us about that. But his credentials are very important to us. We should know that he was the chaplain of the African National Congress during the period of armed struggle against apartheid. And when I say armed struggle, it was international, as he found out, because the apartheid regime, using state terror, tried to kill him, and he lost his right hand and part of a leg when he received a letter bomb. And he has, of course, been in Zambia, I think, most of his life as a missionary. He's the bishop, it's Anglican, and bishop in Lusaka. And for our listeners, know that we often talk about Rwanda. The present government is pretty much a military one, disguised as civilian, because all of its leaders are the key leaders are all generals wearing suits. So rather than resemble, you might think Pinochet, and you get an idea. Around the world now, there has developed a great controversy about the nature of this regime. And, of course, if you're a refugee from that country, wherever you happen to be, you will encounter different types of problems. And in the case of Zambia, like in other places in Africa, the governments run hot and cold. Sometimes they say you're welcome, and other times they say maybe you should go. Zambia, by the way, has a large population of refugees from other places. And I know that one of the backgrounds or backdrops to this subject is that those refugees from other places, Zimbabwe, I believe, being one, are not really and Angola. They're not talked to in the same way, and they don't seem to get the same attention. So there's you get the sense that this is, of course, a political matter as well as a legal one, having to do with the interests of superior powers. I read a document from John Osmer earlier today, and I noticed that one element of it was that the U.S. has shown an interest in this subject, and they are willing to put up money to help solve it. And we all know the little formula, he who pays the piper calls the tune, so that's a matter to know about. We haven't yet reached John Osmer, but I want to. We have other announcements to make. Phil, there is the issue of yesterday. I attended a meeting where the flotilla to Gaza is being organized. And I'm sorry to interrupt me and to interrupt you. Phil was all set to read that, but we will keep it in abeyance. I believe we are joined by Bishop John Osmer. Are you there, sir?
I'm here, yes.
Thank you very, very much. I know it's late in Lusaka. We very much appreciate you taking the time. You are following an issue, and I know it's close to your heart, that of refugees, particularly Rwandan refugees who are in Zambia. And over the years, their status seems to have changed. And today I received a document in which actually I've been using the word refugee, but even that term has been sort of altered. Are the 6,000 people of Rwandan nationality, is that their title? Are they refugees? How are they regarded in Zambia?
Yes, we call them former refugees. Former refugees, because they lost their status on the at the end of June 2013. Mm-hmm. We call them former refugees, and also for the United Nations High Commission, they're called persons of concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're former refugees, how do they? What rights do they have in Zambia? And why is there now an issue arising over their status?
Yes, the nothing really has changed. They're still kind of living in the camp at Maheba. They're under the restrictions of movement of the 1951 Convention, and they're still kind of under refugee regulations. So, in fact, nothing has changed until they have proper permits to stay, which will give them some kind of freedom, like residence permits. And that will change their life considerably.
Mm-hmm. I became aware of the issue when I noticed that there's been activity, and the three key elements, that is the government of Rwanda, their representatives, the government of Zambia, and the United Nations High Commission, I think, on Refugees, they had a meeting. It seems to have great import. What are your concerns about coming out of that meeting? What is it that is worrying to people?
Yes, this was a meeting which was held in March, and at the meeting there was a minister, deputy minister of Home Affairs from Zambia, the minister for disaster preparedness and refugees from Rwanda, and also the United Nations representative was at that meeting, and they had a communique which was actually demanding that refugees should take passports, land and government passports, for either repatriation or for local integration in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of was spoken at that meeting about the preparation for Rwandans to return to Rwanda and find some kind of home there, employment and homes and land and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of the main part of the meeting.
Are the two governments agreed on how to interpret that the results of that meeting? I notice that there seem to various ministers seem to be saying things which somewhat contradict other ministers. What is that about?
Exactly, the Minister of Home Affairs said that those who do not take random government passports within a certain time for local integration will be repatriated to Rwanda. Mm-hmm. More or less by forced repatriation. That has never been said before in the whole history of care for refugees in this country. This was an entirely new development and very, very surprising. But at the same time, we have found this is not actually probably government policy, because in the 11th of May, the Cabinet made a decision on then refugees staying given alternative status. Said nothing about passports. They said nothing about being forced to go back to Rwanda.
Yeah.
Now, we think that probably passports are still required, but the important thing is that there's no talk now about forced repatriation, which is very, very positive and very, very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. So
I may say that the we had a very big service on the Day of Cessation on the 30th of June, 2013, the Minister of Home Affairs was then Edgar Lungu, who is now the President of Zambia, and he said that on no account will refugees be sent home by force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been government policy.
Mm-hmm.
It still remains government policy, I'm very, very certain.
You're certain that is the policy, though there is
absolutely certain. And mm-hmm. And we have a further statement. A Minister of Home Affairs, that those who do not qualify for permits will be given back to the United Nations High Commission. Mm-hmm. But that must mean that they're going to be given back refugee status. Mm-hmm. It does not mean they're going to be sent forcibly back to Rwanda. It's mm-hmm. also very, very encouraging, because by being refugees, they will have international protection under the 1951 Geneva Convention.
Mm-hmm. So, in a sense, we have a kind of an appearance of a move towards a type of removal or conditions, but so far you're encouraged by the facts as opposed to the impressions, right?
Very much.
Mm-hmm. There Is the UNHCR, and I know in your work you must be concerned, about the intrusive approach of the Rwandan government. It's been pointed out that when they say that you have to apply for their passport to have your Rwandan identity, even Zambia, they give 3 pages that you have to fill out telling who your family is. You have to name 3 relatives living in Rwanda. You have to name everybody in your... It sounded very intrusive. Shouldn't someone be admonishing the government of Rwanda for that type of approach to its people, nationals?
Yeah, this is to be expected, because we take it that the passports are... Rwandan passports are the means of moving Rwandan former refugees in Zambia under Rwandan government control. And the strategy of that control is they want to know the names of the families and names of relatives. Now, therefore, asking for the names of 3 family members in Rwanda and 3 family members outside Rwanda, names and addresses. Mm-hmm. And these are obviously relatives of Hutu refugees, which could be possibly taken as opponents of the government. Mm-hmm. So we see this as a security measure. They want to expand the security surveillance of refugees and also their relations, both mm-hmm. 3 relations inside Rwanda and 3 relations from other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Bishop John Osmer in Lusaka, Zambia. There's other elements here that I suppose to a Rwandan who is fearful of that government in Kigali, which, by the way, I mean, it's not discussed very often, but in fact, a number of people have been assassinated abroad. That's become an issue. The BBC documented these matters. We spoke to people on this program whose lives have been threatened. So there does seem to be a warming of, at least on the level of business and airlines, between Zambia and Rwanda. That has to be a concern, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm certain that refugees in Zambia are concerned about their safety, especially those who are leaders, and also in other parts of the region, are very concerned about their safety. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in South Africa, I met Rwandan refugees in Cape Town. They told me that the community never meets openly and publicly because of the same security fears. So this has caused the community to be fairly much under the radar. They don't want to be seen very public mm-hmm. because of their fear of agents who are going to spy out where they are and what they're doing and possibly some kind of attack.
Yes, we had a dramatic murder of a former Rwandan leader in South Africa.
He was killed on the 1st of January. A very, very, very important Rwandan political leader mm-hmm. who had been part of Kagame's inner circle.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, on this the statement that I've seen today about this situation, another factor, and I wonder know what weight you give to this, I noticed that the U.S. State Department is becoming involved and that they've offered to pay for some things. Do they expect a certain result when they give money to somebody?
Probably, yes.
Just, pardon me for my naivety.
Yes.
Because after all, I mean, the closest government to that of Kigali abroad seems to be Washington. There might be some competition, but my impression is that Washington and Kigali are very close.
Yeah, that has been proved historically. But recently, you know, they had this congressional inquiry, mm-hmm. and led by with inter-party Congress inquiry as to human rights in Rwanda, which was very positive, I think. Mm-hmm. This was done within the American government of the 2 parties of the Republican and the Democratic Party, and taking part in that kind of consultation. Mm-hmm. And also, I can say, Phil, that the American government's recently given for refugees in Zambia, given $3 million for the integration of Rwandans and also probably Angolans, which is also a very positive move.
Well, that is encouraging news, because it's for the integration, to make them able to contribute and live with some security in Zambia.
This was given on the 15th of April, and it was $3 million US, and half of it is specifically earmarked for integration of former refugees, which must include, of course, the Rwandan community.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the Americans giving us some good support for the refugees in this country.
Mm-hmm. For those abroad or all those who can follow Refugee Matters, are there steps that you're taking and others? I know you work with other church organizations human rights groups. Have you written like a formal proposal to how to safely resolve this so that people can live in security both in Rwanda and Zambia?
Yeah, absolutely. We are sending this to the Minister of Home Affairs, who's responsible for refugee matters. We are working very closely with the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Lusaka and other church leaders, and also from time to time we send messages to the ambassadors. So we sent them all the copy of the documentary, the BBC documentary, Rwanda, the Untold Story, went to many ambassadors here in Lusaka.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're trying to spread the news about the country and the Rwandans here in Zambia.
Yeah. You know, I recall an observation made about a neighboring country with the same demographics by President Nyerere. He was part of an inquiry into what the problems were in both Rwanda and Burundi, but he said if it was race, you could see clearly that it's an apartheid situation, which I thought was rather shocking. But his remark has been ignored. But you do have a minority that seems to have a hold on power and not interested in sharing.
You're absolutely right. And I come to this from a long period in the ANC in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I was a chaplain of the ANC for many years, and I work in Lusaka as a chaplain. And I see many, many parallels between the liberation struggle in apartheid South Africa and what's happening in Rwanda today. Many, many parallels.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
This is probably why I'm so much involved in this, because I feel very much concerned from my past history that I can maybe try and give some kind of support for those who are on the underside of this oppression.
Mm-hmm. We all know it, you paid a terrible price, but you had a great victory too in South Africa. Bishop John Mosmer, we are very grateful that you gave us the time, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to have your questions, and very much pleased to have your interest in this very, very important question.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Goodbye.
That's the Bishop John Mosmer. He is based in Lusaka. He is taking up the cause of Rwandan refugees, among others. And it is, you know, it's one of those stories when you see something teetering towards a happy result, but with it seemed to be a risk at the same time. We wish him well.